Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat of broken data, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad headers, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. All my friends that come around flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Alex Dono, our buddy from QAM and the Hurricanes, host of the pregame and postgame shows, Alex Dono joining us in around 12 minutes to talk about the quarterback situation down in Coral Gables with my beloved Canes. Candy, it's all about the U, baby. In fact, Carver High today, you saw I wore my It's All About the U shirt.
You're in, like, full Canes garb today. Like, you went from the – you got, like, the All About the U shirt, like, the shorts matching. Like, you almost look like you just walked out of the locker room.
Right out of the locker. I got, like, the whole green Cane thing going.
That's it. Cane Day.
Cane Day. So we'll talk about the kid. What's his name, Martell?
Tate Martell.
Boy, that kid had a rough day yesterday. What – did you see the abuse he got? That's the thing I wanted to talk to him about.
He got a lot.
Did you think the kid deserved that much abuse?
Probably not.
Because what did he do? He didn't win the starting job that he was allegedly supposed to get or something?
Well, when you got to remember, a lot of the, of what he's taking is you have one of the most, and I'm not afraid to say, one of the most obnoxious fan bases going, and that's the Ohio State Buckeye fan base. So they're all laughing at him because, oh, you left us to go be the starter down there and you didn't even get it done. So they could be pretty relentless. So that's part of what factors
in. So are they the ones doing it to him?
I'm sure the majority is Ohio State fans, yeah.
All right, we'll talk to Alex Dono about that. And the kid that got the job, Jaren Williams, right?
Yes.
Ron Cook is my buddy at the Post-Gazette in Pittsburgh and, of course, on the Fan 93.7 in the Steel City. We'll talk to him tonight because he wrote a column about should the Pirates fire Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle, right? I mean, they do suck. I love my Pirates. I'm a Bucko fan for life, but it is it's like being drunk and having to walk 2 miles. You know what I mean? You're just kind of walking sideways for 2 miles drunk.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's just a problem. And, if you're on a loser, you just are always walking drunk. You're just never focused.
I know how it goes.
I've been there. Colts GM Chris Ballard says Andrew Luck is now dealing with a high ankle problem. In addition to his calf, the team announced he won't play at all in the preseason. That's been delivered tonight. Will Luck play in week one now is the question. Who cares about the preseason?
We talked about this last week, and honestly, we know how this ends. He's going to be hurt all year, right? Like, it seems like this always happens with this dude. A couple years ago, this happened. Oh, he's going to be all right. We're just going to send him in preseason. He missed the whole year.
Yeah.
Last year, he was finally healthy, and he made it through the whole season. They seem like one of those franchises I can't trust. When they give out any kind of medical, like any kind of timetable, the Colts are one of those teams that I just don't trust them. Never take what they say and actually think it matters.
Good evening, Indianapolis. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley says Jalen Hurts has been very impressive in camp, but is not ready to name him the Sooners starting quarterback. He transferred from Alabama, where he went 26-2 as a starter. Do you even believe this guy? Like, who's he kidding?
Honestly, who are you trying to fool here? Like, really, what is the big, like, cloak and dagger about not just saying the dude's going to be the starting quarterback?
He's our guy.
You know he's going to be. You brought him there from Alabama. Tons of teams wanted him. He comes to you.
You're not going to play him?
Come on. I mean, just what are the mind games for? Like,
Lincoln Riley,
like, who
mind
are they playing
games.
Their first
game? Lincoln probably, Riley.
Who are they playing week one? Like, you're really throwing them a curveball, not
They're
saying who's going to start?
Kick off at noon against Hamtramck Tech at noon in Norman. Daniel Cormier says that after his fight with Stipe Miocic on Saturday, it's either a third John Jones fight or he's going to retire. Jones later would say there'll be no third fight with DC. Would you like to see them fight another time? Very interesting stuff.
I personally would not like to see them fight a third time.
I told you that.
He cleaned the guy out
twice.
He
beat his ass.
So what's the point?
He beat his ass. But let me ask you this question. Are you interested in seeing Nate Diaz fight this guy? On Saturday. I'm into that, you know? Anthony
Pettis.
Did you
see Diaz? He did, like, an interview today?
Oh, yeah. I saw his interview. You mean the one where he complained about how McGregor gets all the gigs and he gets nothing?
Might not have been that. It was one where, like, it looked like he just, like, got off, like, the airport or something. Like, he just walked in the building.
Right.
It looked like he just woke up. And at the end of it, he goes, like, something like, you know, I'm just here, you know, I want to get out of here, knock this guy down, and get a bag of cash, you know, like, basically, that was like, it was just flat-out typical Nate Diaz. I'm just coming here, I want to go home with a bag of cash. I'm going to try not to get hit, I'm going to hit him, and we'll walk out of here with a bag full of money. That's like, almost word for word, what
I love him.
Said.
Have you heard him lately, though? He's got, like, this whole thing going, like, no, I'm not even trying to be mean or anything, but he's been punched so many times in the mouth. Have you ever heard him talk?
You got to find this video.
He, like, mumbles. Have you ever seen him talk? Like,
yes.
It's like he's got, like, fat lips or something. He's got, like, missing teeth and fat lips. He's got the whole thing going where he talks like this. Like, I just think they give this other guy all these gigs, and it's BS is what it is, and I don't give a Pharrell. I hate him, and I never called him or bothered them. They call me. I mean, I don't bother these people. They just screw me over. That's basically what he said. I'm actually more interested in that fight than I am Cormier and Miocic.
I'm with you. I don't really care about the Cormier-Miocic. The guy's already said, like, no matter what happens, he's going to retire. So what do I care?
So, but I will say this, that he, 4 minutes into that fight they had, he knocked him out cold.
I think Mafia's right. I don't think Miocic was ready for that fight. I think he took the fight lightly.
I would agree with that. He did not do well in that fight. I think he's a really tough dude.
Because didn't he, like, have, like, this long winning streak before he lost
it? Yeah, he defended it, like, five times. If he doesn't win this fight, trust me, he's going to fall off the face of the earth. He needs to win this fight to make a huge comeback statement and get that belt.
Right.
And then, like, he'll be back in the money. He'll be back in the winner's circle. He needs to win. Miocic, you know, lost to DC and then became irrelevant, didn't he?
Exactly. He's done nothing since then.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Alex Dono's our good friend. He does the Canes pre- and post-game shows on QAM in Miami. He's been on the bench forever. Alex, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Scotty, I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm all right. So tonight I came to work decked out in my Canes gear. I have the All About the U shirt on. I'm rocking the, like, green, bright green, like, just rocking. Like, so they look like the Celtics pants, road unis, but they're more Cane Day. And I'm just literally as green as the grass is green. And I got to tell you that the reason I did that was because you were going to be on tonight because I wanted to talk about the drama that is going on with the Canes football team at quarterback and this kid, Tate Martell. Now, the reason I want to get your opinion on, I want to talk about Jaren Williams and everything else, but what's your feeling about, seriously, about the abuse that kid has taken over the last 2 days?
I don't think it's fair. I mean, he did really put himself out there with some of the comments he made before he left Ohio State and, you know, he's always been, you know, really active on social media, really outspoken, really competitive. So I guess for someone with an outgoing personality like that, you know, people are going to take an opportunity to kick him while he's down, because that's what's going on here, Scott. I mean, people are kicking the guy while he's down. I don't know why he missed practice yesterday after the quarterback decision was announced. Maybe it had something to do with that. It probably had something to do with that. I don't know if it did or it didn't, but him not practicing right after the decision was announced did not help his case publicly either. He did go to meetings after that practice, and then he did practice today after missing practice on Monday. So it seems like he's still on the team. There's no word of him imminently transferring or anything like that. But in the meantime, you know, he's got an outgoing personality, and now that he's down, a lot of people are kicking him while he's down.
So did Alex Donner with us, has anyone said that there was some thought that he was going to quit there too?
That hasn't come up. People are assuming it, but I haven't seen anything concrete behind that idea, because to be quite honest, coming out of this quarterback competition, Jaren Williams is the guy. Jaren Williams is going to be the starter against Florida, but it doesn't look or sound to me like he separated himself from the other two by any large margin. So I just think logically, I mean, the two guys who didn't win the quarterback spot are Tate Martell and Nikosi Perry. Both of them, and we don't know who the number two is going to be yet. I think that's also important here. We know the QB1, but we don't know which guy is the second stringer, which guy is the third stringer. That's going to be important information. I don't know if either of the two of them even know which is the second stringer and which is the third stringer right now. But all this to say, I don't think Jaren Williams won that quarterback spot by a large margin, and I don't think there was very much separating number one from number two and number three. So maybe the best course of action for the two of those guys who didn't win the starting job might be to hang around, because the opportunity could come up. I mean, right? I mean, Jaren, one injury to Jaren Williams or a couple of poor performances from Jaren Williams, if there's not a big difference from one to two to three, I think there's a chance two or even three of those guys could get an opportunity to play this year.
So Alex Donner with us, he hosts the Canes pre- and post-game shows. Do you like Jaren Williams, what you've seen of him, and tell us more about him?
He's really improved over the last couple weeks, which again kind of outlines how close this quarterback competition was. He's got the best arm out of the three, and that's really been known going back to last year when he was a true freshman. But I think where he's really shown a lot of improvement, he is not the best runner or scrambler out of the three. On paper, he's the weakest in that area, but he's really shown a ton of improvement in extending plays, in making good throws on the run, which is not something he was doing very well even going back to spring football a few months ago. So he's improved on that a ton. And really what Manny Diaz, the head coach, said, one of the things that has impressed him the most about Jaren Williams is he just seems to have a better sense than the other two on where and when to put the football into the right places, which, of course, is a pretty important skill for a quarterback to have. So I think his command for the offense and the instinct that he has for the position to go along with his superior arm strength are kind of what set him apart from the competition. I'll tell you an interesting fact or anecdote about Jaren Williams, why it's really a cool story, Scotty, for him to win the starting job is, you rewind back to December. This was before Mark Richt resigned and Manny Diaz took over.
Right.
Jaren Williams was very close to leaving. He was about to put himself in the transfer portal. It was reported that he was about to leave. His father was actually pushing him to leave in a transfer, and he decided he wanted to stay and compete because a couple of his teammates talked him into it. He's pretty close with Brevin Jordan, one of Miami's tight ends, and Brevin told a story about being in a car with Jaren that night when he wanted to transfer, and a couple of guys talked him out of it, and they really told him, I think you have a chance to compete. And then Mark Richt resigned. It's not to say he hated Mark Richt or anything like that, but when Mark Richt resigned, I think Jaren Williams thought, you know what, I've got a clean slate, because he was, you know, the third quarterback last year, ended up redshirting last year as a true freshman. So when Mark Richt resigned, he thought, you know what, I have a chance now. A new offensive coaching staff is going to come in, and I've got a clean slate and a chance to show what I can do. And look at him now. You know, 7 months ago he was going to leave the program, and now he's the starting quarterback.
He said that he was even surprised that they told him. He didn't see it coming even.
Yeah, because and if you were to ask me like 3 days ago who I thought the starting quarterback was going to be, I thought it would have been Tate Martell. And, you know, going back to so really when a lot of people's heads were turned in Jaren Williams' direction was Saturday. Miami had a scrimmage. It was a closed scrimmage, but most of the highlights and most of the information coming out of it from team sources indicated that Jaren was by far the best quarterback of the three there. So maybe going back to, you know, Friday, you know, 4 days ago, I would have thought Tate Martell probably QB1, Nikosi Perry, who's the most experienced out of the three, might be quarterback two, Jaren Williams might be quarterback three. And so I guess he was as surprised to get the starting job as some of us were to hear that he got the starting job.
So when you, Alex Donowitz does the Canes pre and post, do you, because Nikosi Perry now, here he goes again. We've already seen him play, and I think people thought he was stale. Where does he stand in all of this?
Yeah, that's a really tough one to me. Honestly, this is just my opinion on it. I think that he may be even more likely to decide to leave the program than Tate Martell, only because, I mean, Martell just got here. He just transferred from Ohio State. So I don't know if he wants to turn around 1 year after the next. I think for Nikosi Perry, he had issues with maturity last year. It was pretty well documented. He was up and down. You know, he was in the starting lineup, then he was out of the starting lineup, could never hold on to his starting spot, was suspended a couple times for, you know, off-the-field stuff. So, and, you know, even though Miami does have a new offensive coaching staff, the new head coach was a guy who was with the program last year as the defensive coordinator. So, you know, they can say all that they want to about a clean slate and everybody getting a fresh start. But I'm pretty sure Manny Diaz has some memories and some flashbacks about, you know, Nikosi Perry not being the most mature guy last year. So I wonder if it was kind of tough for him to sort of reset that reputation.
They're saying that he's just got all these different angles, and he's a real solid passer, more than a thrower, that he can do this strength, touch, angles, changing speeds, floaters, things of this nature. The question is, that's all fantastic in some cheesy scrimmage, but how are they going to do against the Gators on the 24th when there's a lot of people that feel, and not that any of them matter unless they got enough vodka in them, that the Gators are the best team in the state of Florida this year going into the season. A lot of people think they're the team that's going to be better than the others, and I don't know if I buy that, but do you think the Canes are in trouble in that game? They're 7-point dogs. Do you think they can handle their business in Orlando against this team?
I think they can, because I think Miami's defense is going to be really good. So I think they're going to be they're going to have enough to say to keep the game close and give the offense opportunities. I understand why there's so much more buzz for Florida. I mean, they had the better season last year, the much better finish to the season last year. You know, they didn't have a quarterback competition. They know Felipe Franks is their guy. Like, they're just the more known commodity, Florida. Whereas, you know, Miami, even, you know, for a guy like me who follows the program really closely, I don't have the best handle on who Miami is on the offensive side of the football, because, you know, I can say as many nice things as I want to about Jaren Williams and how good he's looked in fall camp and the scrimmages and all that, but the guy has only thrown 3 passes in his entire collegiate football career, and then Miami's offensive line has a lot to prove. That unit could be on paper the shakiest of any unit, offense or defense, on the entire team. So they have playmakers. They've got tight ends. They've got wide receivers. They've got studs at running back. But if the O-line, especially when you start the year against an SEC opponent, an in-state rival like Florida, if the O-line can't hold up, it could be really, really ugly on August 24th. But I think Miami's defense is going to make enough plays to keep them in the game. So the question is, can Jaren Williams make a couple, you know, big time passes, deep balls, X plays? Because Miami probably is, Scotty, going to need to make a couple of big plays to keep themselves in that game and have a chance to win it late. I don't think Miami's going to. I certainly have very few inklings that Miami could win that game in blowout fashion, but I think if they can keep the game close, they can have a chance late.
I got 30 seconds, real quick, respectfully. If they lose that game, hypothetically, to the Gators, They would have 2 weeks later play in Chapel Hill against Mac Brown. That guy be licking his chops to beat the Canes. And if they start 0-2, Manny Diaz won't sleep for a month.
And if they start 0-2, we might end up just re-churning the whole quarterback carousel.
I mean to tell you, I can't wait to see how they do on the 24th. That's next Saturday. And the next day after that, I'm going to Vegas, where I will bet on over 200 college football games in less than an hour.
I had to do that, man. I might have to meet you in Vegas for that.
All right, Alex. Good stuff, man. We'll be in touch throughout the season, see how the Canes are doing for us.
Thanks so much, Scott.
There he is, Alex Dono from the Canes Radio on QAM in Miami.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, the best football handicappers, PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's who. Who do they trust me? That's who. Who do they want me? That's who. College football, pro plays all season long, every day like you read about. Baseball through the World Series. Winners. Boxing, MMA, every big fight. We give you nothing but shots to the chin. It's all on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Every pick, every game, every day, every play. Best picks, best price. Buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. Highly recommended. Carver, is that everything?
Yeah, that's good for now.
Coming up later, our good friend Gerks from Chicago, otherwise known as Mr. CNBC. He's on the financial television networks all the time talking about stocks and bonds. But when he's naked, he prefers sports and gambling and reefer. We'll have him on the show at the top of the hour. But until then, our dear friend Ron Cook is back from the Fan in Pittsburgh in the Steel City. And, of course, the great writer, longtime talented columnist with the Post-Gazette, the Pharrell childhood newspaper that I read growing up as a kid. Ronnie.
Scott.
How
good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever it is. How are you?
I'm well, brother. So let me ask you, the first thing I did today when I saw your column was I reached out to Carver. I said, get Ron on. I want to talk about the Pirates' problems. And it seems that you handled that really well today. Do you believe, like, how did your article go over with the public when you were on the Fan today when you said it would essentially, I mean, that, you know, should they get rid of Hurdle and Huntington? How did that go over?
Well, you know, Scotty, people were so down on the Pirates here. It's just they're so used to losing, and they're still angry, but I think it's really close to apathy here. Everybody's more worried about Antonio Brown here. They're worried about the Steelers. They don't care much about the Pirates. It's sad. It's a sad thing that's gone on here. This is what losing does to you. It's a proud organization in terms of baseball, but not for a lifetime. I mean, what they have, the last winning season in 92, then they had three winning seasons. They made the playoffs. They didn't win anything division-wise. They made the playoffs as a wild card, and now we're back to four more losing seasons, non-playoff seasons, and this year with they won last night, but the collapse after the All-Star break. They're 5-24 since the All-Star break. They're already losing tonight in Anaheim. It's just it's awful. But it's not Huntington. It's not Hurdle as much as it's the owner, Bob Nutting. You get what you pay for in America, and he doesn't want to pay very much.
I get all that. I just wanted to let you know that so when the Pirates win a game, I have, like, because, you know, I'm a huge Pirate fan with my son, and we're, like, complete losers. We absolutely, like, honestly, like, when they win a game, we have, like, a celebration. It's like a, it's, you know, because it's like once every 2-3 weeks they win a game. So we have, like, steaks on the grill. The wife starts drinking wine. I mean, it's like a, it's almost like a feel-good thing. Like, when they win a game, we just have that one nice moment as a family, a month, when they finally win a game, and I have something to be happy about. I mean, they're so pathetic that, like, when they win a game, I have, like, a celebration.
Well, you haven't celebrated very much since the All-Star break, have you? I mean,
no.
They were 44-45. They were 2.5 games out of first place going into the All-Star break. Now, maybe they were doing it with mirrors. I mean, They got lucky on a few games. They got a few good players. Josh Bell had a month of May that is as good as anybody in the history of the game. Not the history of the Pirates, in the history of the game. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't hit a home run. He hit a home run on July 5th, and he didn't hit one until 2 days ago. He had 27 home runs on July 5th, and he doesn't hit one until 2 days ago. And that kind of sums up what the season is. And I'm not blaming him totally. The pitching is just bad. They've had some injuries here, but nobody wants to hear injuries. It's just their payroll is way down. What is it, 28th, 29th, something like that. I lose track. I've already moved on to football season, Scotty. I mean, and Penguins are getting ready to go to camp in a month. So the Pirates, we've had so many good times here with the Penguins and the Steelers. It's like the Pirates don't even exist.
Are they going to – do you believe that they're going to fire him? They're going to fire Huntington and Hurdle?
No, they got two more years each left on their contract, and the owner, Bob Nutting, doesn't like to pay people to work, let alone not. So I don't see them being fired. But you know what? In my opinion, Scotty, even if they are fired, that is not going to correct the problem. This is an ownership issue here. Huntington has not been very good lately with the money that he has been allowed to spend. But they're going into a fight, you know, with their arm tied behind their back, both Huntington and Hurdle. They do the best they can with what they have, and they don't have much.
Is Hurdle, is he happy there, or is he miserable?
You know, he puts on a good face. I mean, he's a very positive guy. I mean, he's a recovered alcoholic.
Who isn't?
a lot of us aren't recovered, you know. He's a very positive guy. This is beating him down. There's no question. He's making a nice salary, relatively speaking, compared to compared to what his owner pays. I don't know. I wouldn't surprise me if he walks away at the end of this year. I don't see him being fired. I just don't.
Wow, you're something else. Ron Cook of the Post-Gazette and the Fan in Pittsburgh. I got to tell you, it's so depressing. You know, I'm going to make it even more depressing. Do you remember when, like, my dad died and I was there July 2nd, he died, and then we buried him on the 5th? I mean, Christ, they haven't won a game. They've, like, won one game since my dad died. Now, that's because my dad, as you know, Ron, was the greatest Pirate fan that ever lived. He went to every game every year since their inception. He was at the 60 World Series. He went to everything. So when he died, they died. That was the end of the Pirates. They may never win another game ever.
Well, I you were on my show right then, and I expressed my condolences, but they've been dead for a long time, Scotty. It hasn't just been when your dad passed. When you think from 92 to 2012, they never had a winning season. And they did manage, they did what I thought was impossible, both Hurdle and Huntington. They found a way to have a winning team for 3 years. And McCutcheon was a big part of that, Neil Walker, A.J. Burnett. It all came together for them. And then, obviously, in 2015, they actually won 98 games. But being the Pirates, they still didn't win the division. The Cardinals won 100 that year. So it wasn't just when your dad passed that it's been a dead franchise. This goes back a long, long way.
All right, Ron, let me ask you about why are they so obsessed? Carver High wants to know right now. He's like, all this other waste of time, the Pirates, he said. Why are they still – they can't get over the hangover of Antonio Brown.
Are you talking about the Steelers now?
Yeah. Why are the fans so – you said at the beginning of the interview tonight that they are more worried about Antonio Brown than anybody cares about the Pirates.
Well, I don't know if they're more worried about him as they are fascinated by him. I mean, he absolutely fascinates me. You know, now he's taken team turmoil from Pittsburgh to Oakland. I think the fans are past him. Now, they may start to miss him once the games start for real. because he's a hell of a receiver. You're a Pittsburgh guy. You know how good Swan and Stallworth were. Antonio Brown is better, in my opinion. But the headaches he causes, Mr. Big Chest and all that, I mean, I'm glad he's gone. I think the Steelers are glad he's gone. But you can't get past it. It's news every day with what he does. And, you know, maybe it's my fault for keeping it so much forefront. I talked about him on my show for about 2 hours today. He's not even in Pittsburgh anymore, and you talk about him because he's fascinating in a perverse sort of way. I'm glad he's gone. They're going to miss his production, but we'll see how John Gruden ends up handling him all year long.
So I thought Bush looked fantastic and so far. Is he really all that's advertised?
Well, for one game he was. The other night against Tampa, he had like 10 tackles. And, you know, they've been desperate to find a replacement in 2 years for Ryan Shazier. He had that horrible injury against Cincinnati in December of 17. That set the franchise back when he got hurt. They think Bush is the guy. They traded up 10 spots to draft him number 10. And I think we saw in one game why they did. Now, one exhibition game certainly doesn't make a career, but everybody is excited about him. They think the defense is going to be better this year because of him. You still have Roethlisberger around. If the defense is better, yeah, the offense is going to miss Le'Veon Bell. It's going to miss Antonio, but they think the offense will be good enough, and if Bush can help the defense, I think they're going to win the division. I think the hype around the Browns is ridiculous, but we'll find out if I'm right.
So I got 1 minute, respectfully. The Browns hype, how much is that irritating fans in Pittsburgh? Because all I've heard literally from not only the Browns themselves, but the media, the national TV, radio, it just never ends. I heard a chick the other day on ESPN say they were going to win the Super Bowl, and I've literally hurled all over my house.
Well, I mean, it's only going to be irritating if they live up to it, and that's the thing. They still got to show they can win. I think the most feeling here is the Browns are still the Browns until they prove otherwise. Rookie head coach Freddie Kitchens, never been a head coach. Good luck dealing with that, and I'll let you go. One of the most amazing stats in all of sports for me is the winningest quarterback in Cleveland Stadium. Winningest quarterback
is Big Ben.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Think about that. He's won 11 games there since they came back, 99, whatever it was. No quarterback has won more games in Cleveland Stadium than the Steelers quarterback. It's hard for anybody here to take the Browns seriously.
I love you. Hey, Ron, great stuff as always, man. Keep it up. You can check out Ron on The Fan, 93.7 in Pittsburgh. Middays, you can listen on radio.com on your phone app, and you can hear those guys in Pittsburgh. They're fantastic, and you can read his columns in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ron, I love you. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Scotty, anytime, man. Good night, man.
I love Ron Cook. He's one of my favorites. Gerks is here from Chicago. We'll talk about everything going on with the Bears and the Cubs and, hell, the Blackhawks and the Bulls and the Rodman 30 for 30 and the Bulls 6 championship 30 for 30 that's coming out in 2020 coming up next on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.